Church Project. We're glad that you're here. We also, and I know it's on the slide behind me or nearest, but this YouVersion app, if you would, open that up. That's where our notes are and from today's message. And that's usually what we talk about for House Church. But why I want all of us to open these notes today, especially, is one of the first links you'll see on there is a link. Laura Imenshu and FCA is doing a huge sports camp week this week. And so it's incredible stuff that's going on right now, starting today at noon with FCA. And so on the link of that YouVersion app, you'll see is a Genie sign up or something like that, where you can sign up to be a prayer warrior for that time. And so you can sign up for a slot and say, I'm going to continue to pray for what I'm praying for. If you'll look on mine, I signed up at 9 or something tonight. I'm praying that the leaders will have energy and that they'll have enough to sustain the whole week, because it's an incredible thing that happens at the UNC campus. It's going on all week, and I would love to see all the prayer spots taken that's already available or that's available still. So you don't have to listen to me today. That's fine. It's the Bible. You can read it on your own later. If it's taken you a while to sign up for Prayer Genie and that's all you accomplished today, wonderful. We'll call it good. And you might be able to fit in some Instagram in there too. So there you go. Hey, we have moved in 2 weeks ago to the parables of Jesus. And if you're new to Church Project, we go through verse by verse and we just study what God has. And it took us 2.5 years to get through the book of Acts. And we just finished that. And we started the parables of Jesus. And it's just these knowledge bombs that God would drop on humanity. He would get on the stage and rat-a-tat a little bit and then drop the mic and walk off. And it's the parables of Jesus. What a great thing to study, word for word, what Jesus is doing and the lesson that he's teaching. Last week, we talked about forgiveness, and I thought Project Kids did an incredible job. I didn't even know what they were doing, but all of a sudden, I saw little necklaces of s'mores. And I'm like, what is this? Like, that's cute. Made me hungry. But then Project Kids, a whole point of last week was, how many times do we forgive? We forgive and we forgive some more. Isn't that brilliant? I'm like, why didn't they preach? That would have been a lot easier. We could have been out of here in 5 minutes. So we looked at forgiveness last week. And today, if you would, open your Bible to Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 41. We're looking at the mic drop of Jesus when we're talking about the two debtors. I want to remind us something in these parables. Before we get there, we're pausing from House Church for the month of July. So no House Church for the month of July. For some of you, you're like, oh man, I plan on going this week. No, not this week. So you're off the hook on this one, okay? But for the month of July, we're not meeting. And I want to say this from the very beginning. Like, we're taking this month to seriously pray. Like, God, who do you have for pastors that are going to be leading our house churches for the season of 2019 and 2020. And so maybe some of us in this room, like, God is kind of convicting us and compelling us that we want to be leadership, we want to be the house church pastors for this next year. And that's what a lot of my attention is going to for the month of July. So if you're in here and you're feeling kind of convicted, or you feel like, you know what, I want to be a house church pastor, let me know. And we're going to meet, we're going to have a coffee, and I would love to talk to you about what that means. So deal? Good? All right? Okay, now let's get to the parables. As we look at the parables of Jesus, Jesus's preferred method of teaching were in these stories. It was his way that he instructed crowds, and they amount to about a third of all of Jesus' teaching if we look in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A third of his teaching are the parables. And as we read these parables and as we study these parables, I want us to remember a few things, okay? And we're going to repeat this every time we get into this, because it's so easy to jump into a parable and go, that's cute, and then make it mean whatever we want it to mean. And that's not what we want to do. Like, Jesus was teaching to a specific people and had a specific point, and we need to grasp what that is. Like, make up my own point or follow the point of Jesus? I know which way I want to go. So I want to remind us that how Jesus intended to change the attitudes and behaviors was with these parables. So we need to look at what Jesus was saying and who he was saying it to. Jesus' original intent must be our goal in reading and studying the parables. We need to look at it and go, all right, Jesus, what were you saying and what did you intend originally for this to mean? Because I guarantee you it's still applicable for today. Like, how many of you need more forgiveness in your life? Yeah, that was the point of last week. The deader one, we'll find out what that is here in a little bit. But I also want to remind us of this. As Christians, just overall and generally speaking, but especially as we go through the parables, I got a couple emails and texts from people last week that said, man, that was a rocking message. I'm like, thanks. Jesus was convicting me and speaking to me. And I'm like, now there you go. Amen. And as Christians, like, it is our duty that when we are prompted by the Holy Spirit, and it happens, if we're listening daily, the Holy Spirit will prompt us. It doesn't matter how mature you are or immature you are, the Holy Spirit will prompt you. And as we're going through the parables, when you're prompted by the Holy Spirit to say, God, I want to align my life and come under your word. Amen. Whatever you're saying, whatever your word says, however far out from that I am, I want to align myself and I want you to be the Lord, have the lordship of my life. This life is about you and not about me. Can we commit to that as we look through the parables and we study this? Say, God, I want to align myself with what you're saying. Here's my prayer for us. Jesus, help me submit to your kingdom authority in every area of my life. What a great prayer. Let me submit to your kingdom authority in every aspect of my life, which reminds me of Psalms 25, verses 4 through 5. And Psalms 25, 4 through 5 says this, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. You can read it however you want, but I like that all day long stuff at the end. My hope is in you all day long. Amen? All right, let's look at this. Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 41 through 43, is the actual parable. Luke chapter 7, 41, and it starts like this. Jesus dropping the mic. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will he love more? Two verses where Jesus kind of drops the mic. That's the actual meat of the parable. But as we're studying the parable, we also need to know context. And we need to know what God is doing and what he's saying. So here's the context. It's back up a few verses to verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house to recline at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him, Jesus, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Then Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Then we get into the parable. He says, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Then we get into the last part of the parable where Jesus goes, I'm going to drop the mic and explain this for you because for people like me, it needs a little bit more explanation. What did you mean, God? And he gets into it in verse 43 and he says this. And Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. What a great story. I want to go back to the context just a little bit to give us a little bit of setting here. This is during a time in a culture where Jesus is teaching and this woman shows up and everything's going on. This is a culture where honor is a big thing. This is an honor culture. And in this honor culture, a Pharisee would probably host an elaborate meal, which is happening, a banquet right now. This Pharisee's hosting Jesus. And not only that, they would host this big banquet in a courtyard of their house. It's not like on the interior where it's hidden. No, it's in the courtyard of the house. Why? So that when people walking by would literally see this thing going on. And it was a way to bring honor to your guest. And it was a way for other people that were walking by, they knew they had an invitation to come in and walk around and see the great food that you're giving them and see who's at it. And so this is in the courtyard, in the front, like on your front yard is where this is being held. Why? Because it's a culture of honor. And this is the way the Pharisee is even honoring Jesus by being here. And this would be a great honor to the guest. Also, it's customarily the hospitality during this time. It's custom that they would have prepared a banquet, this banquet, with a proper bathing and anointing of the body beforehand. So the Pharisee that would be hosting this elaborate place would say, it's going to start at 3, but at 2 o'clock, I booked this appointment down at the bathhouse, and we're going to go down there. You're going to get an elaborate bath, and after the bath, you're also going to get your body anointed with oil, and you're going to be properly cleaned and ready to go. Then as we're walking back to my house, your feet are going to get a little dirty. Get it. But once you get to the house, it's going to be in the courtyard. We're going to have water there, and we're going to have more oil. We're going to wash your feet, and we're going to put more oil on you so you are ready to go for the big banquet. That's customary. Didn't happen. None of that happened in this story, and this is important to know. The table also, it's important to know, is not like what we see, like this. It's low to the ground, and so when you would sit at the table, you would actually recline at the table, you would lay down and kneel at it, and your feet would be behind you. And so it makes sense when it says that the woman came up behind Jesus' feet and was weeping and washing her hair, like Jesus is looking this way and eating, all the feet are back there, which is where this shameful sinner woman's at, right? Doing her thing. Okay, that's important to know. The woman approached Jesus. Have you ever been at a party or been somewhere and we're like, who invited her? How did he get in here? I imagine this Pharisee's like, oh no, no. Why is she here? And what's incredible, and this broke my heart as I read this parable, and hopefully breaks your heart. This woman approached and used her actions as her confession. She knows that she has sinned. She knows that she's not clean. She knows that she's not worthy to approach Jesus. And she uses her actions as her confession. Her weeping of her tears, her wiping her feet, his feet with her hair. Like, she uses this. And it reminds me of this. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's like she knew she was dirty and she was wrong, and she saw Jesus and approached him. And it was with her actions that she confessed. Whew. She kissed his feet multiple times over and over. And many scholars will say this, and I like thinking about it this way. She kissed his feet as a sign that she knew he had granted her forgiveness already. Like, she kept kissing her feet, like, thank you for the forgiveness you've already given me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know I'm dirty. I know I'm not living right. I know whatever it may be, but I'm boldly coming, and I'm weeping on your feet, and I'm wiping my hair, your feet with my hair, and she begins kissing him, like, thank you for this forgiveness. Can you see that? In this setting, thinking about the Pharisee especially, and this culture, Jesus was touched by one, a woman. Nuh-uh. Not in this setting. Not here. So Jesus is approached by the woman. The Pharisee's already like, come on, Jesus, why? Right? But not only that is she a woman, but she's a sinful woman. And it's shameful act of letting her hair down in public is even another level of this. Like, she's like letting her hair down in public. She's full of sin and she's approaching Jesus and Jesus is accepting this. The Pharisee's probably like, whoa, whoa, and whoa. Like, what are you doing right here? And now she's kissing his feet repeatedly. It's like, is she trying to seduce him? Like, what is going on here? And Jesus is letting this happen. I like what Dwight Pentecost, a commentarian, says this. On the one hand, the Pharisees knew that Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. And then on the other hand, they observed that he welcomed the sinful woman's touch that their tradition would say would cause defilement. Who then was this person? He's defiled because a sinful woman has touched him. Huh. I want to start now, if we would. Like, let's just pause from this story. And I think we got the gist of this story. I think this is a great time to kind of do some introspection and some thinking, just all of us personally right now. And so if you would, think and maybe just open a note on your phone or journal or something for the next few minutes here. We'll put some little music on. We'll just kind of sit on this and think and pray on this. Like, contemplate honestly. Why have you invited Jesus to your banquet? I mean, the Pharisee invited Jesus to his banquet, obviously to show the world that Jesus was at his house. Maybe the Pharisee invited him, well, to trap him. That's one thing, to trap him in what he's saying. Maybe the Pharisee invited Jesus to the banquet to prove that he was holy and good. Like, look, world, I have Jesus here. And look at the food I prepared for him. But look, but not you, woman. Go away, not you. But the rest of the world, look, Jesus is here at my banquet. And maybe the Pharisee invited Jesus to the meal to worship him. But I think we can easily discount that. And so put yourself there. You invited Jesus to your banquet. Did you honor him? Did you give him a bath? Did you anoint him with oil? Did you invite him to flaunt him and show him off? Did you invite him to make yourself feel good? Like, I go to church project, look at me, ain't I awesome? Or do we invite Jesus to the banquet of our heart to worship him, man? To worship him. Like, look at the two people. The Pharisee had every right to worship him. But he missed it. He was too holy and too good, and he had been to church too much. He read too much Bible. But the woman, the sinful woman, worshiped. Why do you come to the banquet? Why do you invite Jesus to this banquet? Is it to prove to us how good you are? Because we're not buying it. Or is it that you realize how much you've been forgiven? The woman realized how much she had been forgiven. And she worshiped with all she had. So let's take some moments just reflecting, writing down. Why do we invite Jesus to this banquet of our life and our heart? Why do we worship him? And maybe if you're stuck and you don't know kind of where your thoughts should go, how about this? How about you start with the ways Jesus can forgive you? Because you know you're already forgiven of those things. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. He calls you a child of him. And to forgive you of a multitude of sins, past, present, and future. And so just personalize. What are the things that you would like crawl to Jesus and say, please forgive me? And make a list of those things. You can keep thinking, you can keep praying, and I just want to point out something that he says later on. He says, your sins are forgiven. But then it's uber important, super important for all of us to look at verse 50, and it says, why? Not because of your works, but because of your faith. Not because you came and cried on my feet and dried my feet with your hair and poured expensive oil on it. It's none of that why your sins have been forgiven. It's because your faith. You believed in me. And Jesus looks at all of us today and he says, it's not by your mighty works or your lack of works. Like there's no sin that's big enough that I won't forgive. And I love you. Because you approach me for who I am. Her sins were forgiven, not because of works, but because of her faith. As we looked at the parable from last week about forgiveness, and we look at the parable today, just about the debt, and realizing how much God's forgiven us, acceptance and grace, which is today's about grace, merits response. When we realize how much Jesus has forgiven us and loves us, it merits a response from us. And in this case, an emotional, heartfelt response is what this woman shows. Elaborate emotional response when she saw Jesus for who he was. And I hope the same is true of all of us. When we realize how much we've been forgiven of, it merits an emotional response. It merits our actions being changed. We can't move about today the same way because we realize how much debt we've been forgiven of. We are the woman in this story. The dirty woman in this story. Shameful, sinful, welcome. That's all of us. And Jesus is reclining at the table, and we get to crawl towards him and worship him. And he stands up, and I don't know what he did, but if I was Jesus, I jump up, and I turn around, and I grab this woman, and I hug her with all my might, and I say, your sins are forgiven. Run free. Be free. I love you. And the Pharisee goes, oh, you can't do that. But Jesus did. And he's doing that to us every single day. John McKay says this, nothing great happens without emotion. Let's worship with emotion. Let's study the Bible with emotion. Let's realize how much we've been forgiven with emotion. Let's live our life with emotion. Let's show change is happening in our life. That's one of the things I miss about working with youth, is when you see a youth come to know Jesus as a teenager, man, they smile and their life changes and they worship and they jump. Because they're not yet dignified enough to know you're not supposed to do that. May we do that. May we jump and clap and sing and get undignified as we praise our King. Why? because we realize how much we've been forgiven of. Amen? Do we acknowledge our depravity, what we'd be without Jesus? Do we recognize and receive and walk in his grace? I hope so. And how does that affect our life actions? And how do we respond and live in light of that? Grace and forgiveness both beckon our responsibility to change. And all of God's people said, amen, because that's good. When Jesus drops a mic, he drops it good, doesn't he? Yeah, Ryan. Right.